to continue looking at the doctrine of last things, referred to as the doctrine of eschatology. We're in our introduction phase, and last week we began looking at some definitions. We looked at the rapture. We'll look into that in the next couple of weeks. The judgment seat of Christ, which of course follows the rapture. The tribulation period, which of course follows the rapture as well. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the second phase of Christ's coming. The first phase, he comes in the clouds, we're caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. Following the seven-year tribulation period, Jesus Christ comes to the earth. That's referred to as the revelation of Jesus Christ, who, of course, set up his millennial reign of 1,000 years. And we also, the millennium, which, of course, follows the revelation of Jesus Christ, is a literal 1,000 years. And then following that, we have the great white throne judgment. That brings us to a couple other things that we need to look at, and that is, we'll probably not get to all of these today, but the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, and the last days. These are referred to, the last days, of course, are referred to just in the New Testament. The day of Christ is referred to just in the New Testament. But the day of the Lord is referred to in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, with most of the references being in the Old Testament. I believe that in order to prevent error, we need to understand what these time periods are referring to. We must not confuse these time periods, and it seems like there are many who do. But again, they are distinguished in, the Lord makes a distinction of these terms throughout his word, and we need to know what that distinction is. So we're going to look, first of all, at the day of the Lord, and we too will look at a lot of verses concerning the day of the Lord. But I want you to notice, as we look at these verses, we'll turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. The emphasis of most of these verses in the Old Testament is upon judgment. So in most of these passages that we're going to read in the Old Testament referring to the day of the Lord, the idea of judgment is paramount. And immediately, of course, we know that the day of the Lord has something to do with the judgment of God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, in verse 12, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." So again, he mentions, for the day of the Lord, and then he mentions judgment. So the day of the Lord has something to do with judgment. In Isaiah 13, verse 6. "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It," that is the day of the Lord, "shall come as destruction from the Almighty." Again, the idea of judgment is paramount. Verse 9. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." So we see in each case in Isaiah, the day of the Lord and judgment go hand in hand. The day of the Lord speaks of a time of coming judgment. But then notice in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, and verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Okay, here the day of the Lord has reference to a battle. So we see the day of the Lord is connected with judgment. The day of the Lord now we see is connected with a battle. Then in the book of Ezekiel chapter 30, Ezekiel 30, and verse 3. For the day is near. Then he tells us what day he's referring to. Even the day of the Lord is near. A cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. So it has a cloudy day. Again, speaks of gloom. Again, speaking of judgment. And the heathen are the subjects of this gloom. They are the subjects of this judgment. Then notice in the book of Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 1, and verse 15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Again, we see the day of the Lord is at hand, and again we see it is mentioned here with destruction. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Again, here it's connected with trembling. For it is nigh at hand. Verse 11 of the same chapter. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Again, we remember it was connected with battle. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? That is, who can endure this day of the Lord? Verse 31 of the same chapter. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. The great and terrible day of the Lord. In the book of Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Then notice in the book of Amos, chapter 5. Book of Amos, chapter 5, and verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Book of Obadiah, Obadiah, verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Again, reference made to judgment. And all of these verses with judgment deal with unsaved man, deal with the heathen. It doesn't have reference to the child of God as far as judgment is concerned. In the book of Zephaniah, book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, in verse 7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Then notice in Zechariah 14 and verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And then lastly, in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 4. Book of Malachi, chapter 4, and verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which of course has reference to the tribulation period again. So we see all of these, almost all of these verses refer to judgment coming upon lost man. We see the phrase day of the Lord is only used a few times in the New Testament, but as we read the verses in the New Testament, we see that the day of the Lord also applies to God's people. Not the judgment aspect of it, but another aspect. Notice in the book of Acts chapter 2, and this is just Acts 2 verse 20 is just a quotation of what we've already read in the Old Testament. But in Acts 2 and verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Here we see it is a notable day. The day of the Lord is a notable day. Then notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll begin reading with verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now he's writing to saved people, of course. He's writing to the church of Thessalonica. He says in verse 1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye, that is the brethren, have no need that I write unto you. And then verse 2, he says, for yourselves, again he's talking to the brethren, know perfectly that the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. Now I believe here we get an idea of when the day of the Lord begins. It begins with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, of course, will be caught up. We will be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air. Then all of those verses that we read in the Old Testament that have to do with judgment, that part of the day of the Lord begins in the tribulation period when God pours his wrath down upon lost man. But we read here in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now that's something that has been taken out of context for a long time. Verse 3, for when they, and perhaps the most important word in that verse is that word they. Before he said ye, he's talking to the saved, he's talking to the brethren. Now in light of this thief in the night, for when they, not ye, but they, talking about lost people. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The world will be saying, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And that's what we've just read about in the Old Testament. The day of the Lord and judgment, and they shall not escape. So for the child of God, the day of the Lord is when Jesus Christ comes and we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But the day of the Lord has another meaning, and that of course refers to the judgment of lost man upon the earth, which takes place during the tribulation period. Then notice verse 4. But ye, okay, he's talking to brethren again. He's gone from they to ye. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. That day, what day? The day of the Lord. That day should overtake you as a thief. You see, the coming of the Lord is a thief in the night for the lost, for the unsaved. It is not to be as a thief in the night for the saved, because we're looking for him. We're looking for him. And that's what verse 4 is saying. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. Again, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The day of the Lord is going to overtake the world as far as judgment is concerned. But it's important here that we recognize the switch from the ye to they, because we have to know who he's talking about. And this will keep us straight on the tribulation period as well, as far as who will go through it. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We, the saved, are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, I'm going to make application. Let us not sleep as do others, the lost, but let us watch, always be watching, and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for of the helmet the hope of salvation. Then notice verse 9. For God, keep in mind, the day of the Lord has to do with judgment. All through the Old Testament, the connection, judgment is paramount. He's talking here in 1 Thessalonians 5 about the day of the Lord. Coming as a thief in the night, that is the first phase of the day of the Lord, is when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then judgment falls upon this earth. So the context is the day of the Lord. In context, he says in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. And I believe that goes directly back to the day of the Lord. The Lord hath not appointed us to wrath. That is, you and I are not going to experience the judgment that is going to fall upon this world during the tribulation period. We will be gone. Yet many today will take verse 9 and make it completely separate from everything that has been said up to this point. You cannot do that. The very first word is for. There's a connection here. And it goes back to the day of the Lord. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, which is deliverance, by our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we see the day of the Lord has to do with judgment as far as the lost is concerned, as far as the unsaved is concerned. But as far as you and I are concerned, the day of the Lord is the rapture. Then notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, it seems that the day of the Lord begins with the rapture, includes the tribulation period as far as the world, unsaved man, is concerned. It seems from Scripture and from what we're about to read that it goes through the millennial reign of Christ, includes the final revolt of Satan. After the millennial reign of Christ, Satan is loose for a brief time. We see that in Revelation 20, verses 7 through verse 10. Following that, we have the great white throne judgment. But then notice 2 Peter chapter 3, there, and then in Revelation 21:1, we read of a new heaven and a new earth. Find that the old earth has been destroyed. 2 Peter 3,
Verse 10.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now we have to take that in the context of what he's about to say. Keep in mind, the day of the Lord refers to judgment as far as the unsaved man is concerned. As far as you and I are concerned as children of God, it is the rapture. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, what part of the day of the Lord is he talking about? In the which the heavens shall pass away. We won't be here for this. This goes back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Many lost people, unsaved people, have the idea that when Christ comes, the world is going to be destroyed immediately. That's not so. Again, there's the tribulation period, there's the millennial reign. Yeah, but this aspect of the day of the Lord is talking about the destruction of this world that you and I know. We're delivered from this wrath. And again, it comes as a thief in the night upon the unsaved. This destruction part of it comes as a thief in the night. The thief in the night has nothing to do with the rapture. Again, we're not to be caught by surprise because we're expecting it. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, he's going to make an application now. Seeing then that all the things in the world are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements melt with fervent heat. So I believe we can safely say that the day of the Lord begins at the rapture. You and I are caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. And in all those Old Testament scriptures that spoke of judgment upon the heathen, that begins to come to pass. It begins to come to pass in the tribulation period and builds. So the day of the Lord, as far as you and I are concerned as children of God, is the rapture. As far as this world is concerned, it is judgment. That brings us to a second term, which is found only in the New Testament. And it is referred to as the day of Christ. It seems to me that it is very, very closely related to the day of the Lord. But the paramount thought of the day of Christ is the idea of blessing for the saved. The idea of reward for the saints seems to be paramount with the day of Christ. Again, I believe the day of Christ begins at the same time as the day of the Lord. The day of Christ begins with rapture. But the emphasis on the day of the Lord is judgment for the lost. The emphasis on the day of Christ is upon you and I that are saved, and the emphasis is upon reward. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5. And verse 5. To deliver such a one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to stop here because if we get going here in the day of Christ, we're going to run over. So we'll just stop here and pick up next week with the day of Christ. But again, the day of the Lord, we are delivered We that are saved are delivered from the wrath of the day of the Lord. We are delivered from that wrath through the deliverance through the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord. Lord, prayer.